Amen. Now that's an old song. And I enjoy singing with the quartet. Enjoy the music this morning. Amen. The kids did a fantastic job, and appreciate Brother Haynes and the presentation there. And what a great need there is around America and around the world to send the gospel. It's good to have Brother J.D. Guido with us. Brother J.D. Guido is the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. I met him at school. He went to Norris, the school I graduated from, and I appreciate him. Come on, preacher.
Brought my lunch with me. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I've been looking forward to the conference, looking forward to being here. And I love your pastor. Thank God for him and his family. And somebody said, preacher didn't do too good Sunday. Well, how'd you do? Amen. Hey, thank God for your pastor. If you pray for him all week long, you won't have barbecue preacher on the way home from church on Sunday. And I love preachers and love men of God. I grew up in a pastor's home. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 28. And I have a lot of things I want to say this morning. And I know we're going to be here all week and looking forward to the week. I do thank God for the missionaries. Thank God for Brother Haynes and his family and presenting his work this morning. And appreciate the church here faithfully supporting all of the missionaries over all the years. And we're not here this week to beat you up or anything. A pastor said, what are you doing at missions conference? And I said, I always just preach the devil out of everybody. And you know, if we all get right with Jesus, then this mission stuff isn't a problem, okay? And I have this offering envelope right here. And I also have the faith promise cards, and we'll talk about that this week. And, you know, we're not trying to sneak up on you. I've coached for years. And Vince Lombardi, a great football coach of yesteryear, said, teach the fundamentals and good things will happen. And I'm a brown beans and cornbread preacher, and that means we just kind of put the jelly down on the bottom shelf so everybody can get it, okay? I am a Texan. They say you can always tell a Texan. You just can't tell him much. And I was born in San Antonio, and my wife at the Santa Rosa Hospital there, and my wife was born in Fort Worth at Harris Hospital. And we met in our Christian school, and her grandfather was a pastor, and my father was a pastor. And I've got some apples here. I'm going to teach you a little song that I learned when I was a little boy. And I'm going to try to anyway. We may have apples rolling everywhere here in just a minute. But my mom and dad walked the aisle at the Wasatch Avenue Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas, the last Sunday in August, 1966. I was a little redheaded boy and very shy and very timid. And my dad was a state trooper, and my mom worked for the driver's license office. And anyway, they were lost and had gone, gotten away out of church as adults. They'd been through confirmation and catechism and all that growing up. But they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they began to have some problems in their marriage. And they went back to those other churches and didn't get what they were looking for. Kind of as a last-ditch effort, on the last Sunday in August 1966, they walked into the Wasatch Avenue Baptist Church, and a little short pastor by the name of Dr. Claude Bonham Sr. got up, and man, he just shucked the corn. I mean, he is an old-fashioned preacher, and he reared back and preached the Bible that day. And there was a door in the back on that side and a door in the front over here on this side. And he was kind of sitting in the middle. There were about 700 people there, my mom and dad and our little family. And my dad said, you know, if anybody messes with me, I'm out of here. He'd heard about them Baptists, you know. And, well, anyway, about halfway through the service, tears began to run down my dad's cheeks, and I'd never seen my dad cry like that, and my dad didn't even know what was happening to him, but the Holy Spirit of God began to get a hold of my daddy's heart, and when the invitation was given, my dad looked at my mom, and he said, honey, I don't know about you, but this is what I need. And my dad stepped out, and he came down to the old-fashioned altar, and my mama followed him down there, and the man of God took the Word of God and led my mom and daddy to Jesus Christ, and God gave me a new mama, and God gave me a new daddy. And things began to change around our house, and you know, for the good, and it was a blessing, okay? And my dad's typical Sunday was, he was a bass fisherman, and he would have his ice chest full of beer and a hula popper and all that, and he'd just go bass fishing every Sunday and drink all that beer up. But you know what? When Jesus moved into my daddy's heart, he gave him some new desires. Isn't that a blessing? What a wonderful change in my heart, my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And here I am, just a little redheaded boy, real shy, and got little skinny arms. I look like a little... And I'm just very skinny and very shy. And Pastor, I was very insecure. had a problem wetting the bed. I just was a little bed wetter. Got any? No, never mind. But anyway, the pews were wooden, and if I fell asleep in church, I'd leave my mark right there on the pews. Amen. I mean, I really would. But, you know, I appreciate a Sunday school teacher that took an interest in me when I was in the first grade. And even though I was very shy and very timid, Mrs. Griffin Jones took an interest in me. And Brother and Mrs. Jones began to invest their life in my life. And I was just a little boy. And they challenged us, and they said, hey, Mrs. Jones said, if you boys and girls would learn the books of the Bible, you could go to San Antonio Zoo, and they have Monkey Island. And man, I was a little boy, and even though I was shy and timid, I started working to learn the books of the Bible because a big person took an interest in my life when I was a little people. And that was 44 years ago. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And then I learned the books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I learned it in a song, and I know it the other way too. I remember one of the little pledges that we learned, called the Loyal Temperance Allegiance. I promise God helping me not to buy, drink, sell, or give alcoholic liquors while I live. From all tobacco I'll abstain and never take God's name in vain. And it is amazing. There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help Him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. Man, they stuffed all, you know. I mean, listen, when I was a little boy, scripture memory was real big. And Pastor, every Sunday I had my little memory verse. And if we were learning the 23rd Psalm, it'd have it be maybe on a lamb. And I mean, they just stuffed us full of the Word of God. And then my Sunday school teacher would take the flannel graph, and boy, she would put it up on the little board, and she would just make those Bible stories come to life. No notes, just an open King James Bible, just taught us the Word of God. Man, I thank God for those days. And again, she had no idea to know that one day in the process of time that I would surrender to preach, but I thank God that she invested in my life. But every Sunday at my house, man, I wanted, Brother Haynes, I wanted to have an offering in every category. I mean, listen, I wanted to have, I mean, it might have been a quarter, but I wanted to have a nickel on the tithe and a nickel in the missions and that from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Hey, I'm just saying this to thank God for the boys and girls getting up and singing about the 6 billion souls. Isn't that a blessing? You know, these boys and girls are very impressionable. Thank God they're being taught in the right ways. There's a lot of wickedness, a lot of junk going on in the world today, but thank God for a church that still stands for the old-time religion. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My sin was old-fashioned. My guilt was old-fashioned. God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Well, I'll tell you, I'm starting to get some preaching bumps on me. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, it's a blessing. And we're here, listen, again, this missions conference, I'm telling you, souls hang in the balance. And really, the church, when you fill out your card, you're kind of voting. I mean, that's your vote on what you're going to do to help reach the world that Jesus died for. And I love missionaries. And you know, I sit up here and look at those Navajos. I love the little Navajos. I love them. And I'm glad that from El Dorado, Arkansas, where I pastor at, that we can have a part, and we do have a part in the Ames ministry there, reaching the Navajos. Isn't that a blessing? When I get to heaven, hey, there's going to be a bunch of little Navajos that line up there and say, hey, thank you, Brother Weedo, for giving so that we could be here in heaven. We're in heaven because you gave. You put beans on the Haynes table, and you kept Brother Haynes going and his family going. And Pastor, we're in heaven today because you gave. That's fruit that abounds to our account. I'm not the smartest preacher or the deepest preacher that you've ever heard, but I'm going to tell you something. I am going to tell you the truth in love this week, and I hope you'll be here. I mean, every message, okay? We came with you in mind, and we want to be a blessing to the church this week. We want to be a blessing to the missionaries. When I was a little boy, I learned this little song here, and it's to the tune of, I think it's to the tune of Bringing in the Sheaves. And I ate this apple this morning, and I've got a mess here. The little song goes like this: if God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me, one-tenth of these 10 apples. Wow, this is brutal. One-tenth of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one oak core, would you give God that one oak core and then ask Him for more? And the chorus to the little song that I learned when I was a little boy in Sunday school says, don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. You know, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have any apples. Hey, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hey, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mind. He even owns the taters under the hills. We serve an awesome God. And I'm going to tell you something. I got 9 little apples here. And then I've got one apple that's a little bit bigger than the others. And you know, it doesn't really matter which apple God wants, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to bring God our first fruits. Amen. In light of God giving us all 10 apples, we bring God our first fruits. He gets first pick. What an insult to eat all the apples and then say, here God, here's your offering. It doesn't work that way, does it? Hey, the tithe is the Lord. Say that with me. The tithe is the Lord. Say it again. The tithe is the Lord's, okay? The tithe is a tenth. And that belongs to God. We've got to understand that because we're not even given to missions until we tithe. A tithe is a debt that we owe the Lord. Amen. What a blessing to bring our tithes to the Lord. We don't pay them, we bring them. Amen. What a blessing to have to be an obedient Christian. But the little song goes like this. If God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me one-tenth of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one oak core, would you give God that one oak core and then ask Him for more? Shake your head with me. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. I got it too high for you. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing that I remember that 44 years later? I've never forgotten that song. I'm going to lay that right there because God's not interested in our leftovers. And I don't know about you, but the Bible says, will a man rob God? He says, wherein have you robbed me? The Bible says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. And well, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing on my life. And if God lifts His hand of blessing off of my life and curses me, then I have nothing. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing. So, you know, I give to the Lord and I give to missions. And again, it's a voluntary offering. It's a free will offering. The reason why you don't put your name on there, it's between you and God on the card. And really, the only reason why you fill the card out is just so the church can kind of take all the cards and kind of add them up and have an idea of how much money has been committed to missions for that year. And then the cards are discarded. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so this is not some high pressure thing, but it is all about our heart. Our heart does determine our part. Now look in Matthew chapter number 28. And we know these verses are very familiar. And again, I don't have anything new. I do thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. And what an incredible crowd here this morning. And I know there'll be a good crowd back tonight because we're going to eat tonight. Amen. And I hope everybody will come back tonight. And Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And again, the power here that's given, it's not energy power or work power. It is authority power, okay? Well, I thank God that I'm serving the one that is all-powerful. He's omnipotent, okay? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 says, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, not some nations, but all nations. That's Russia, and that's Mexico, and that's these different countries that are represented here. Baptizing them. We get them saved. Teach all nations. That's getting them saved. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you now. And Lord, I know we just got a brief opportunity here, Lord. And I pray that in the next few moments that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, I do thank you that my parents, Lord, took me to Sunday school. And I do thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of faithful Sunday school teachers that invest their lives in the lives of little boys and girls. And Lord, if you tarry your coming, there'll be little boys and girls that are called out of this church to go to the mission field. and Lord, called to preach and so forth. And God, help us to remain faithful as parents and grandparents. And Lord, just bless now our time together this morning. Bless each home and each heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to make this point this morning, and this passage is called the Great Commission. It's God's last command to the church right before He ascended to heaven. And it's God's marching orders that He gave to the church. And the point that I want to make this morning is that God gave the command. God gave the command, okay? Not your pastor, not the church, but God gave the command, okay? So we have to decide if we're going to be obedient. Okay, now I know we all have various and sundry backgrounds of the way that we were raised up and all of that, and I understand that, okay? But I want to tell you something. There's something about being an obedient Christian. I was reading over in Psalm 78 this morning, and boy, just the children of Israel, they got off track and they were disobedient. And they doubted God. You know, can God furnish a table in the way? Yes, God can, but they cast doubt on God and they were disobedient over and over and over again. I don't want to stand before God as a disobedient child. I'm God's child. Listen, our Father which art in heaven. Hey, listen, I'm glad I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hell anymore. My allegiance is no longer to the devil. I'm on the winning side, amen. And I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm not ashamed to salute the American flag. I'm proud. If you don't want to be an American, hey, go somewhere else. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad this morning as a child of God that we have our marching orders that are given not by the church, not by the pastor, but they're given by God. And God has a vested interest in this thing because God had one son and He made that son a missionary. Dr. R.G. Lee, a great old-time preacher, said, if the arms of your church do not reach around the world, they are too short. Boy, I thank God for churches that have not just a missions mind, but have a heart. I mean a heart for the world that Jesus died for. I was preaching earlier this year in Stockton, Missouri. I had never preached there before at the Agape Baptist Church. They have the Agape Boarding School. They can hold up to about 160 boys. Now, these boys are not like church kids. These boys are boys that have brought there I'm talking about gangs, and I mean, these are rough boys. I mean, from all over the country. And I had never preached there before, and Pastor Clemenson kind of took me on a tour. They had a tornado came through in 2003, and all of their properties, facilities, have been rebuilt since 2003, so they're like 7 years old. And I mean, I was impressed with all of the buildings. And I noticed, I preached there on a Friday night, and then on Saturday morning, we had a great service. I think there was 134 boys in the service that night, and just row after row of boys, and about they had a little choir, they got up and sang, you know, a bunch of guys, and man, that blessed my heart. And anyway, we just preached, and God blessed that service. And the next morning, they're in there, and they're eating pancakes, and Saturday morning, they had this big buffet, and they're putting chocolate over their waffles, and all these different things. And so I'm watching these boys, and there's some boys, you know, they've got on different colors. It's a very strong military-type theme to the boarding school there, and they have on different colored, you know, shirts and so forth related to where they're at in the program, and some are over other boys because of good behavior, and then some of them have just come in. I mean, there's about four or five different colors of shirts, and I'm asking questions, you know, what does that mean, what does that mean? You know, and they're kind of telling me a little bit about the program. Well, I see these boys that are standing there, and there's some boys, they're just standing there. They got their hand up in the air. They're not waiting to ask a question. It's a part of their punishment. They've been bad boys. And then I saw there were other boys, you know, and they just kind of standing there, Pastor, with their nose up against the wall. They're just kind of standing up against the wall. And, you know, again, they've done something a little more severe. Then there were other boys that couldn't even be in there with the group. They were just kind of off by themselves. And, you know, I watched it, and I said, could I walk around? I'm walking around up and down these rows of tables, probably like we'll have it set up in here tonight in a banquet deal. And they've got this big cafeteria, and they've got its train track running around the top of it, and I'm taking all this in, and I'm walking up and down and talking to these boys, and how you doing, and they're eating, they're chowing down, and all of that. But all scattered out through, there were different ones with their hands up in the air. And I'd walk by, and even to those that were up by the wall, I'd walk over and, how you doing, you know, kind of look around at them on the wall. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody listen to me. I don't want the Lord to come back. I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all these guys are teaching them discipline. They're teaching them to obey, that there is an authority. Are y'all listening to me? There was one guy, he was up in kind of this little box deal, almost like a guard type deal. You know, he said, all right, boys, stand up. I thought they were being pretty good, but I mean, I don't know what pretty good is there. He said, all right, everybody get up. And so everybody got up. I mean, just all of them at the same time. He said, all right, we're going to do push-ups. I mean, right there in the cafeteria. And then they dropped down. They started doing push-ups, Pastor. And they got up to like 20. And I was like, I was watching some little fat boys, you know, and they were struggling. I'm a little fat boy. I'd be struggling, too, to get up to 20 push-ups. But I'm just saying this. I was watching all these little boys do push-ups, and big boys, I mean, teenagers. And he's up, down, up, down. And I said, how many can they do? And he said, they can do about 50. I said, really? And he said, yeah. And they're doing all these push-ups. And I'm just saying, I'm taking all this in. Very disciplined. Very just teaching them to obey. And Pastor, I was walking down this hallway at the Agape boarding school, and all down this hallway were young men that had graduated from their program and went into the military. There were Marines and sailors and, you know, I mean, from every branch of the service, you know, and I mean, down this long hallway, like we'd have missions boards around the church here. There were young men that had finished the program, and they said that, hey, that boot camp was nothing compared to the Agape boarding school. I mean, they don't play there. Everything was immaculate. It was amazing. One of my preacher friends said he knows this big pile of black blocks. And these boys were carrying blocks from over here, way over here. And he said, oh, are y'all going to build something over there? He said, no. When they get them over there, they're moving them back over there. Whoa. Pastor Clemenson, he was a state trooper in California for 12 years. And he's old school. He don't play. You want to cut up and act up at the Agape boarding school, there's consequences. Well, all I'm saying is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, before He went up to heaven, He said, go ye into all the world. He gave the command. He gave the command. Hey, if my dad said to me, if he said, son, if he said, sit down, my dad was old school. Yes, sir, Dad. Okay, yes, sir. If my dad said, son, take the trash out, guess what I did? I found a way to take the trash out. You know why? Because if I didn't, my daddy was one of these kind of daddies that he said, go to the bedroom. And my daddy had ate a lot of chicken. And my dad, you know, his belt was like around a chicken graveyard. And my dad would send us, he would send us to the bedroom, and he would say, you know, and we knew, he, you know, he always said, you know, make the punishment fit the crime. He was real good at that. And sometimes I would cry and say, Daddy, please, could you give me another chance? And sometimes he did, but sometimes I just passed the point of no return. And I was just being a little heathen, and I was just doing what I wanted to do. Maybe I'd been ugly to my mother, and my dad would take his belt off, and he would give me what I needed. You know why? Because my daddy loved me enough, because he wanted me to be a good boy. He wanted me to respect my mother and love my mom and treat her the way she deserves to be treated. Hey, I have a lot of respect for God because I have a reverential fear for my dad. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave us the command to go into all the world. And He wouldn't have said it if it couldn't be done. It can be done. I can't be in El Dorado, Arkansas and on the reservation there. But I thank God for Brother Mark Haynes that he's representing me. He's representing our church. He's representing our Savior there reaching all those Navajos. Isn't that a blessing? And when you go out and you work your job, listen to me, and you bring a part of your monies back to the Lord, and you give a missions offering, you're giving a part of your life. And then when you get in the realm of faith, it gets into the God giving through you what He would not give to you. Boy, what a blessing. What are you saying, preacher? All I'm saying is this. When the Lord comes back, I don't want to be standing there with my head down and Him say, son, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Hey, the Lord chastens and He scourges every son. I don't want the Lord to have to spank me, to whip me because I would not listen. All I'm saying this morning is that Jesus Christ, my Savior, is the one that gave the command. And I'm like, sir, yes, sir, whatever it is you want me to do, I want to do my part. I want to be an obedient Christian. Are y'all listening to me? I just want to obey the Lord. So I'm not here this week to be anything but to try to be a blessing. If your mama cooked some roast and taters and carrots and gravy and you didn't show up, then you're the one that loses. I prepared with you in mind. Let me just say this to you this morning. That's really all I want to get across is that we need to be obedient. I received a phone call the other night, Pastor, at 11:30 at night. And I got word that a missionary a friend of mine, Wayne Porter. Brother Porter, his wife Vicky, missionaries to Juarez, Mexico for over 10 years. And I got word, they had been to our church, and we love the Porters and all of that. He's an OBC, Oklahoma Baptist College graduate with Dr. Vineyard and all years ago, and taught at the college. He's a great guy, great preacher. And I got word that their 22-year-old son, Wesley's kind of a cowboy, but Wesley, there's this picture right there. I attended his funeral the other day. 22 years of age, and his daddy preached his funeral. His grandpa, Brother Jerry McDonald, there at the Calvary Boys Ranch in Eufaula, Oklahoma. They have a boys' home there, and his grandmother and aunt sang, heaven sounding sweeter all the time, and all of that. But I want to just say this to you. I remember when Wesley was a boy preacher, and he was a good boy. I mean, he had a good sweet spirit and all of that. And they had a couple there from Juarez that stood up that Wesley had led to the Lord Jesus Christ as a missionary's child. He was a soul winner. But as Wesley got up a little bit older, listen to me now, Wesley got away from God. He got away from the Lord. He backslid. And it can happen to preachers' kids and missionaries' kids and deacons' kids and your kids. And I listened to his daddy preach a sermon. He said if Wesley could sit up in the casket, this just happened. He just died September the 29th, less than a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe. And Wesley missed a curve and hit a tree and went out into eternity at the age of 22. His little brother Jared's left behind. His mom and dad's left behind. His daddy's preaching his funeral. The casket's there at the boys' ranch in Eufaula, Oklahoma. And Brother Porter kept walking around. And he said, I want to give you four things that Wesley would say if Wesley could sit up in the casket. Number one is that eternity, that death is real. Death is real. And he talked a little bit about death, as it is appointed unto men once to die. And the second thing that he said is that the Bible is true. If Wesley could sit up in the casket, he would tell you the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. The third thing is that eternity is forever. And he talked a little bit about heaven and a little bit about hell. And he had a couple stand that Wesley had led to the Lord from Juarez, Mexico. And then his dad said this, Wesley would want you to go to heaven with him. He gave those four points, and I thought, wow, that's incredible. Then right after that, he said this. He made this statement. He said Wesley had backslid, and Wesley had gotten away from the Lord. And he said this. He said, it does matter how you live. It does matter how you live. And he said, I think that God was dealing with Wesley. He said, I talked to him. His daddy said, I talked to him 3.5 hours before he went home to be with the Lord. The last thing Wesley told his daddy was, Daddy, I love you. Wesley missed that curve and he went out into eternity just like that at the age of 22. It does matter how you live. Are y'all listening to me? It does matter how you live. And I don't know about you. His daddy said, I think God said, all right, Wesley, that's enough. Come on, you're going home with me. And he took him out at the age of 22. Now, I don't know about you, but I bring my tithes and nobody twists my arm and makes me give to missions. I give to missions because my Savior said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I don't want the Lord to come back and, what's he doing over there? What's his hand? Oh, he got in trouble. Why is he standing with his nose up against the wall? He's been a bad boy. No, I want the Lord to come back and say, man, wow, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. You did what I gave you a command and you followed my orders. Enter down to the joy of the Lord. Hey, what a blessing to be an obedient Christian. Amen. That's really what this is all about. I'm just trying to kind of boil it all down for you. I just want to be an obedient Christian. Whatever, I want to pray and I want to ask God, Lord, what would you have me do to reach the world that Jesus died for? And I just want whatever he impresses on my heart, my wife and I, we just give it with our tithes and we trust the Lord to take care of us. And you can look at me and tell I'm not going hungry. Amen. I want to be an obedient Christian. Let's bow our heads. Thank you for listening. I wonder how many this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, I'm so thankful that I am saved and I do know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I died right now, I know for sure that I would go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. What a testimony. Thank the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. May put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I'm lost. I've never been saved the Bible way. I sure don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I've been thinking about this thing and I'm just not sure if I died right now that I would go to heaven, and I do not want to die and go to hell. Friend, Jesus loved you and He died and paid the penalty on your sins. And if you'll turn from your old dirty, rotten sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him into your heart, He'll be your Savior. I wonder if somebody here today said, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I've been thinking about this, but I'm lost and I need to be saved." Would you slip your hand up, anyone like that, anywhere? Just slip your hand up. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Someone else, you just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, I'm lost. I'm not sure that if I died today that I would go to heaven. I'm concerned about it." Well, listen, you came to the right place. Anyone else, anywhere? Listen, we're not here to embarrass you. We love you, man, but you've come to the right place to get that thing settled. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to come this morning, hey, listen, I know there are others here. Maybe you say, "Preacher, my heart's been kind of cold and indifferent about this mission stuff, and I need this week of missions in my own heart and life." How many of you slip your hand up right there and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I need to get some things from the Lord this week." God bless you and you and you. All right, God bless you. And I'm praying that God will just meet with us in a real way this week. And I thank y'all for listening this morning. How many of you have a special need, just something you're going through right now? A special need, just slip your hand up, just say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I've got a special need." God bless you. Hands all over. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. God bless you. Maybe you've got a family member, somebody you love a lot that's away from the Lord. Man, just pray for them. Don't give up on them. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a verse of invitation. Father, we love you now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we're not here to sneak up on anybody. We're not here to razzle-dazzle anybody. But, Lord, I thank you that you gave us a commission. You told us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, help us now to be obedient. Help us just to make up our mind this week that we're going to get involved. And maybe there are some that have kind of just, maybe they don't understand it. Lord God, please open their minds and their hearts to understand that what an opportunity we have before us this week to get involved in reaching the world that Jesus died for. God, please bless these missionaries and their families and meet their needs. And God, thank you for the church. Bless those who have special needs today. And Lord, those that are here today that are lost, I pray they'd come and be saved. I pray you'd bless now this invitation. Lord, thank you again for all that you're doing for us. And we'll thank you and love you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.